This is Liquidity Talks, a live stream and podcast series designed to share the latest trends and updates from the world of treasury, liquidity, and risk. Join us as we power up the liquidity conversation.
Hello and welcome to our latest installment of Liquidity Talks live stream and podcast. I'm Neville Roberts. I'm the CEO and founder of Planex, the market-leading fintech focused on real-time treasury, liquidity and risk. Now, our topic today is entitled The Impact of Instant and Cross-Border Payments on Liquidity. Very topical right now and obviously a lot to unpack in that topic. Welcome to our audience today. Good morning, afternoon and evening, wherever you may be. Anyone in the audience can ask a question as we run through this session. If you want to put your comments or questions in the comments section on the right hand side of your screen, I'll take these as many as you can as we go, but I'll also take any at the end that run over. We've got 30 minutes today, so hopefully we can get a few questions in. If you ask a question, please let us know who you are and if you possibly can your role so we have some context. One other thing before we start for audience today. We've had a few audience members be part of podcasts in the past. So if you want to be part of a podcast in the future, just email either Nick Appleby or Adam Pemberton. Their emails are in the comments section any second now, and we can make that happen for you. Now, on to today, I'm joined by our guest speaker, Nadish Ladd from Volante Technologies. Nadish, would you like to introduce yourself, tell us who you are and what you do?
Sure, Neville. So I'm Nadish and I look after product strategy within Volante. Background has been payments. As you know, Volante deals quite a bit with in the payment space, one of the leading organizations. Prior to that, I worked for banks like Citi and I was with EY as well. So looking forward to this discussion, Neville.
Absolutely. Now, I do normally start off these sessions Nadish talking about football, and football teams can get quite heated, but I believe football's not your sport, right? It's cricket.
Yeah, pretty much. That's growing up in India, that's what we are used to. And it's obviously one of the most exciting games we see around. So
Exactly. And if it's cricket and it's India, we don't normally like to talk about it because we're not always on the winning side when it's cricket. But look, thanks for joining today. Let's get on to the subject of today. Let's just start, as we always do, with setting some scene and context. Can you explain in your own words what is meant by instant and cross-border payments?
Instant payments, actually, I mean, for us in the UK, at least, we are quite familiar with it. We introduced faster payments about, 2009, something like that. So we are quite used to. The key aspect of instant payments is effectively how the settlement happens, because you have the RTGS schemes where every payment is settled instantly. But then when we talk about instant payments, we are talking about a fixed time window. There's a net settlement, which happens usually at predefined frequencies. But the whole concept, obviously, for instant payments is that the payment is irrevocable and it is executed instantly or near real time, say 7 seconds, which is the SLAs and so on. The interesting thing, of course, is what UK started with FPS. Now we are seeing that globally, with multiple countries doing domestic instant payments, the most recent being, of course, the US going in for FedNow after TCH, RTP. So that's where I guess the instant payments world is heading towards instant real-time.
And should we treat instant payments and faster payments as the same? Are they the same thing or are they two interchangeable words?
Typically, yes. They are used interchangeably. Faster payments, instant payments or real-time payments. That's what generally we are seeing in the market as the schemes implement and adopt them.
Got it. And in terms of cross-border payments, that in its simplest format, that's where the payee and the recipient, they're in two different countries and there's an FX conversion needed. And it's as simple as that from the highest level, right?
Well, at the highest level, yes, it's as simple as that, that the beneficiary bank and originating bank are in different countries. Although, as you mentioned, it's simple, it sounds simple, but then, of course, the big question that comes in is the liquidity. How do you manage that? And that's where all the Nostro, Vostro relation, correspondent banking comes in. So that's the big difference, as you said, effect and different countries. That's the key element of cross-border payments.
Great. So look, we hear those terms in our industry quite a lot now. What are the key regulatory changes, enhancements that are impacting instant and cross-border payments?
Well, the biggest thing about instant payments, all the regulation is around fraud. And again, the complexity of instant payment is not executing it. It's about managing the liquidity and the fraud aspect of it, because it's irrevocable. In 7 seconds, the payment is settled, the money is debited and credited appropriately. So all the regulation that we are seeing is around trying to manage the liquidity and ensure that you have the adequate controls in place. For example, if we look at now, SEPA Instant is mandated across Europe. But one of the good things that EPC has done is they have also made verification of payee mandatory, which is excellent in terms of managing fraud and all of these aspects. So the regulations that we are talking about are essentially about managing fraud, managing the security of the payment. And when we talk about cross-border, it's pretty similar, except that in cross-border, there's an added complexity of sanctions and making sure that the listed parties are appropriate and should be allowed to execute the payment. And that's where there's a bit of, one would say, friction in cross-border payments compared to instant payments.
Got it. Understand. So that process may not take 7 seconds. It can take a little more time because there's just more processing there.
Yeah, and that's where the complexity is, because different jurisdictions have different regulations. They have different requirements, and that's where the complexity arises. And that's where the funds flow, the actual money movement, becomes slightly complicated and so on.
Okay, so look, if we talk about the core of this, which is liquidity, right? In your opinion, how do instant payments affect liquidity positions for these banks, firms? Is it just a time thing, or is it more detailed than that?
It's more detailed than that, because one of the things, key elements, is for a instant payment to be executed, the bank, obviously, or the financial institution, has to manage its positions appropriately. That's true whether it's cross-border or instant, but more so in instant payments, because at the end of the day, it boils down to the customer experience. We are expecting the customer, or the customer believes that the payment is going to be executed instantly, within whatever, 6 seconds and so on. And if at that time, if the bank or the FI has not covered its positions accurately, appropriately, it can lead to a bad customer experience. And that is where the complexity lies, that if it's irrevocable, it has to be real time. You better be prepared for it appropriately.
Yeah, no, I get it. And look, I think we obviously in the UK, we've had instant payments for 10, 12 years plus now. And what we found is that the banks who participate in the scheme, at the start, it was relatively easy. You didn't need to put that much cash into the scheme. But these payments have gone exponential in terms of growth. And it's become, in the last few years, very, very important part of the liquidity equation. And one that's been ignored to a certain extent, and because it's within a scheme and it's not necessarily within your direct control, we found lots of banks leaving an awful lot of money on the table in those schemes because there's a nervousness about, if I get this wrong, we've run out of cash, I won't be able to make payments, and it's a disaster. So the liquidity buffers that they put in there are very, very high. And, you know, part of what we do is optimize that. But that's grown so much, now it's becoming important to manage and monitor that as well as what you have in your core.
Absolutely. And I think the key element is the aspect of, you know, what we consider ACH or the low-value clearings. More and more traffic is now migrating into the instant payments. And that is where, when you talk about ACH, you have a two-day settlement cycle. You can position the funds appropriately. But when we are talking about instant payments, that's where there's a lot of analytics which has to happen in the background. You need to make sure you're predicting the appropriate liquidity that is going to be required for that particular day, and so on and so forth. So that's where the complexity really lies in instant payments.
Got it. And so from a technology point of view, what technologies or technology strategies are important when you manage liquidity in a, you know, in real-time payment environment?
I think the key element of this is real-time monitoring. And the important aspect here is going to be to make sure that you need complete 360-degree view of your payments. You have the 360-degree view of the liquidity as well. And any such, any payments which go through, etc., even if there's a slight delay or some aspect like that, it's going to lead to bad customer experience. So the whole focus of real-time payments is, I believe, real-time monitoring. At the end of the day, that's what it is. Whether it's monitoring the payment or whether you're monitoring the liquidity, it has to be real-time or near real-time.
Yeah, and I think, you look, we spotted years ago the world's moving real-time, no matter what industry it is. So payments have to catch up with retail, manufacturing, everything. And if you do that, your technology set, and it's helped by the cloud, of course, but it has to be real-time. Batch processing is yesterday, right? It's still got its place, but you have to have, and it's not just intraday as well. We hear a lot about intraday liquidity, but really it's real-time. That's what you need to keep up with these faster payments.
Absolutely, 100%, Neville. That's what we are focusing on. Whether it's a payment system, whether it's a liquidity management system, whether it's a fraud or a sanction system, the key element there is real time. I think that's the buzzword when we talk about liquidity.
And do you think that the expectation that customers have, because it's a pretty high bar now in terms of if I make a payment, it's instant. You know, I have a UK bank account, I have a European one, and I remember about a year ago, the instant payment logo came up on my European account, and I thought, oh, and I just switched to it immediately. And I thought about it at the time, I thought, I wonder what impact this has on the bank, because we just think it'll happen. So those expectations are really high. Do you think they're too high? Is it going to take time for institutions to catch up, or are they on a good track?
I think generally we are on a good track. Like if we look at new payments vision, what we are talking about in the UK, the key element I believe is making sure or what the regulators are looking for is interoperability between instant payment schemes. And more importantly, when we talk about the expectation, today, in today's world, we are used to getting things instantly, whether it's with our mobiles and all of these things with strong customer authentication. We've got good regulations in place. Open banking, which has been implemented across Europe now. We have access to every account in the bank. All of these things are driving towards that ultimate goal of giving a real-time experience to the consumer. So I believe the expectations are right. And I think the regulation and the way the entire industry is approaching it is driving towards it.
Yeah, no, I would agree. Just take a question here, Nadish. It's from Pactit Kunz. What if all payments will be real time soon? Would banks run into problems for their liquidity management?
It is not a problem per se. We've already got an experience. Now we are talking about, you know, having a single account, of single settlement account, which can be used across schemes. So the key element there is going to be about predicting or knowing your positions. See, one of the big things that has happened with payments now is obviously ISO 222 is implemented. Yeah. We have a data set, and using that data, it is much easier to understand the profile of the payment, understanding the purpose of the payment, and all of these things can help in positioning that. I don't think many FIs have actually exploited that so far yet. We are still in a early phase where we are treating it like a regulation. But down the line, when we talk about using or having the real-time positions, I think the key element is going to be understanding that payment data, underlying payment data. And I think the industry will head towards monitoring that appropriately.
Yeah, I would agree with Patrick. I think all payments will end up heading that way. And of course, there's no traditional start and end of day. It's 24/7. So it's not boxed in the way it has been historically. So that's obviously a challenge as well. Good. Thanks for that question, Patrick. Nadish, what do you think the main challenges are in implementing real-time payments specifically for cross-border transactions?
I think the biggest problem is not in the actual transfer of the payment. The payment is actually instantly the networks, the underlying networks, whether it's Swift, Visa, whichever network which is being used for cross-border. The key element there is the different jurisdictions and the regulations around that. There, we still don't have a standardized set of regulations across countries and currencies. And that's where the complexity rises. It becomes difficult to predict or understand when the payment is actually going to be settled. And it's a problem for us. It's a problem for the FI as well, because in the other jurisdiction, wherever the payment is sent, it could get stuck. The key element then that becomes managing your positions, your Nostro accounts, making sure it's funded appropriately. And that's where the complexity lies in, I believe, in cross-border payments.
So I was just thinking that if you take every currency in the world and the fact that each one could swap between each one, that's a high number of interaction points. And with all, if they've all got slightly different procedures or processes, that's a lot of complexity. It's not just USD to euro or to pounds or to it's everything else as well. So you have to consider all of those.
Absolutely. And we know the political scenarios, the geopolitical scenarios keep changing. Yeah. And that's where the currency fluctuations, that's another element, you know, the managing the risk of FX and managing the positions appropriately. So that's where it gets a bit complicated. And I guess the industry is, as a whole, is trying to work towards it. But we are still a little bit, I would say, a small bit away from achieving the end state.
Got it. And how, you know, what's your view on how instant payments impact traditional cash flow forecasting models that have been honed and tuned over the years, and now it's all, you know, it's moving instant payments? What do you think the impact is on those forecasting models?
Well, First is obviously you have got to manage it to real time. So that's been a big, big change. It's 24/7, so you don't have the traditional end of day and then cover the position appropriately and fund the accounts. You don't have that. But more importantly, it is the underlying payment, the rich data that we are now getting with the payment. Understanding that payment, whether it's a priority, we have things like request to pay coming in. All of these aspects essentially are kind of driving towards making sure that we have to, the FI has to act instantly. And that's where with the recent technology advances, the irrevocability aspect, that's the key thing. It's a mindset, fundamental mindset that has changed over the years.
So data plays a huge part in that. And I guess as instant payments has increased in terms of volumes, the volume of data and the speed of analyzing that, getting the insight and getting the forecast out, all of that's changed in terms of the speed and the accuracy. So data's there, but you have to be able to harness it, manage it and act on it, right?
Absolutely, absolutely, 100%. And that's why, that's the whole purpose behind ISO. And that's one good thing that the schemes which are now implementing instant payments are doing it with ISO. Of course, in the UK, we still don't have ISO for our FPS scheme. But needless to say, it is going to happen pretty much with the new payments vision where we are going to.
Yeah, got it. So if I'm a financial institution, how do I balance the need for speed? Because this is about 7 seconds or less, but it's instant, right, in the mind of the consumer. How do I balance speed versus security? Security is becoming, you know, more important than ever. It will increasingly become key. And how do you balance those two?
I think there's only one way out, which is to modernize. We have we've got platforms today which have been in these financial institutions for years, and they have been partially upgraded. Every time a regulatory change happens, you upgrade it incrementally, but that's what adds complexity. I think we have to accept that everything is going to be real time. That's a given. And the best way to do that is plan and modernize your systems, whether it's your payment system, whether it's your liquidity management system, whether it's your fraud system. The whole focus has to be real time. Of course, with all the technology changes, the cloud and blockchain based technology, etc., all of these things are possible. It just needs to be planned appropriately. So there's no doubt that you have to modernize your platform and make sure it's there for the next 15 years.
No, I agree. And look, we speak to many, many banks as you do, and there's quite a few who have, you know, lacked it or survived for a long time on packing up what they've got, extending what they have. But at the very core of it, it's a batch-oriented platform. And we've seen banks, you know, run the batch a few times a day to get an intraday view, but that is impactful and it needs a lot of work as well. But ultimately, you can't just take a batch-oriented platform and make it real-time, right? It's a fundamental shift and transformation of your tech stack.
Absolutely. And a good example is several of the core banking platforms are still not real time. And how do you get around it? You have a shadow balance. Yeah. Basically, so you can get around it. But the problem is you have now added one more point of failure. There is an additional point of failure. What happens if there's a disconnect between your shadow balance system and your core ledger? Then it's again, that exposes you to risk. And when you're talking instant payments, that risk can be pretty bad. So, so it's basically about modernizing. I think there's no other way out.
Yeah, and you mentioned blockchain. Does blockchain technology, does it have a role to play, particularly on the cross-border payment side of this?
It's it hasn't, blockchain hasn't happened that much so far, but there are experiments going around. Blockchain, I think, has been widely adopted mostly in the trade finance or trade sector, trade finance, all of those, because of the irrevocability of the blockchain technology. In payments, we haven't really done that, but there are several pilots going around across the globe where consortiums are coming together, essentially creating using blockchain for settlement, because at the end of the day, it blockchain will show you the true state, and which is a certain state. So there are things happening, although it hasn't happened to that kind of an extent that we thought it would when blockchain initially came, at least in the payment space.
No, I agree. And AI, right? AI is everywhere, but I think we've certainly seen a role that AI plays in, you know, AI-driven forecasting within these schemes to get an accurate forecast on the history, and we've seen that, and that's in real time as well. So that has a role to play as well. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think the best thing is when you harness what is happening in the AI world with the richness of the ISO standard, then there is definitely a big role to play in terms of understanding the payment in its true sense. So I completely agree that AI and will be driving this quite strongly with along with ISO.
Got it. Patrick has, it's not actually a question, it's a comment, but stablecoin payments can speed up international payments. Is that something you would agree with?
Yes, it will. Only question is how do we implement it? And the biggest problem that obviously when we talk about international cross-border payments is the geopolitical scenarios, the difference between the regulations. So it should, digital currency is pretty good. We have got programmable coins. They can be used, but the question is, what standards do we set? Who manages it? Who governs it? And that's where the complexity will arise in terms of the management of such a stable coin.
Got it. So, Nadish, I'm a bank. I've been on this call. I've been listening to what we've said, and I'm thinking, you know, just how do I prepare for the future of the volume of instant payments, cross-border payments, and what that's going to how that's going to unfold in the next, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. What's your advice in terms of how they can prepare for that future that's kind of already here?
Yeah, as we discussed, I think you have to change. That's something you have to invest, and the time is now. The good aspect is with the additional technologies, like for example, cloud. Now you're able to get things as a service. Like yourselves, us, we are available on the cloud. We are able to offer the richness of our platforms on a service basis. So the upfront capital costs are reduced, and basically you can actually modernize through an OPEX model rather than a CAPEX model. So with these kind of advances and capabilities, I think the time to act is now. You have to adopt. We are going to interlink instant payment schemes across the globe. We are going to have real-time cross-border payments as well. It's time to start that journey right now.
Got it. Nearly run out of time, unfortunately, but last question. It's almost my last question. But what if it was one piece of advice or takeaway that you give to the viewers today, what would it be?
Modernize. Real time is what the whole world is going to, and patchwork and incremental changes, small changes, meeting the regulatory standards is not going to enough. To prepare for the future, you have to modernize right now.
Got it. So real time, and if you're not real time, you've got to modernize. You can't just increment there or hope for the best. Perfect. So look, unfortunately, we've run out of time today. So thanks very much, Nadish, for joining us today and sharing your views. If anyone asks any questions after the event, just send them through. We're very happy to answer them and send you back those answers later. That concludes our Liquidity Talks live stream and podcast today. We'll be putting the podcast on LinkedIn, Spotify, Apple Music, and other media outlets and streaming services very soon. Thank you very much for joining. Look out for our next podcast next month. My name is Neville Roberts. Thank you for tuning in and goodbye.
You've been listening to Liquidity Talks. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest developments and industry opinion from the world of treasury, liquidity, and risk.